I can barely get any reception on this stupid thing. So far, the only station that comes in is some British guys reading news from places I'm not sure exist.
Today, in Kazakhstan, a peaceful demonstration turned to bloodshed as members of the Tuzili tribe flooded Kenpow Square in remembrance of the third anniversary of the Holmesburg massacre. And now with sports, here's Framtel Tromwibbler.
You're listening to The Hockey Show, broadcasting at 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm not sure about any of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight, kicking off the Christmas season with a little Michael Bublé. Good Canadian kid, good hockey fan as well.
The best Christmas music, and I will not hear any anything contrary to that.
We went out to have this concert. So Jenna and I last year during one of the shows right before Christmas, we had the we basically debated the top five like Christmas like songs. And I mean, I Bublé got in there. I'm not gonna lie, but
yeah,
we'll have to have another discussion about this with you this year. So, in saying that though, it is looking a lot like Christmas. It is December 1st. It is legitimately, for all you sociopaths who had the trees up since like Remembrance Day, it is looking a little bit like Christmas out there now.
Yeah, we're not quite like that. My girlfriend and I got our tree last weekend.
Okay.
So it's up.
That's
now.
Fair.
Lights are on and everything. And we have a fabric advent calendar.
Okay.
And it's got the little like pouches, and it has it's a big Christmas tree with ornaments, and there's 24 ornaments. So we forgot, like, she went to work this morning and I completely forgot that we had it hanging. So like we forgot to put the first one up. So when I get home,
you got a job to do when you get home. Yeah. I like it. How's everything else going for you, Jason? Good to see you again.
I just saw early Christmas present. Germany has been eliminated from the FIFA World Cup.
Ironically, I was working today and that result came down. Spain for the longest time looked like they might be going home too, but they figured out.
They pulled it out.
Yeah.
Japan wins Group E, which is incredible.
But I mean, Morocco won their group as well over Croatia, Belgium. See ya.
Yeah.
Have a nice time.
And it was there was an interesting discussion about because Canada played quite well, again, had a very good result against Belgium to start the tournament. People were thinking, oh, Canada must be doing great. But it turns out, no, Belgium just played really badly.
Well, I don't have a problem with people saying that Canada played well, because, again, they did.
And it's the first time back in 36 years.
Right. I think that if you're on the world stage for the first time in 36 years...
Yeah.
You're allowed, again, not saying that it's disappointing they didn't win. They scored a couple of goals. They didn't get a
point.
That
was the bar. The bar was score a goal.
The bar was simply make it there at first. And then it was, okay, we made it. Now we just need to score because we haven't done that at a World Cup.
Yeah.
Then we got that, and it's like, okay, now we have a chance to win. And granted, Morocco, Morocco had a reason to play today. They had a reason to show up and play, and they did. And... I mean, again, I don't know if you're excited about Morocco winning a group, but hey, it happened.
I think it's awesome.
There's been lots of weird results in this entire tournament.
I mean,
so.
To be fair, it is coming home. England is going to win this time. I feel it in my bones. It has been so every single World Cup, I get my hopes up, and they are dashed in the worst possible way.
Again, you guys will lose in penalties in the first round.
In this
knockout round. So. It happens every year. You know it does. You know it's due.
It is just, so, it's just like the Leafs bouncing in the first round.
English fans,
inevitable.
Do not send me hate mail. I'm just joking.
It is. I share your pain. I share it.
Speaking about pain, want to pass on our best wishes to Chris Letang. If we get into the hockey stuff here now, Chris Letang suffering a stroke on Monday. Second one in his NHL career that he suffered. Let's hope that he's apparently doing well.
Yeah.
This one wasn't very, apparently not very bad in terms of what went on, but out indefinitely until they figure out how everything's going to sort of get back to normal for him. But my God, like, that's a scary thing.
Yeah, and this is a guy where we've had questions for quite a few years about how long he was going to, like, the question the last time he had a stroke was, is he done? And he battled back, came back, had, you know, a lot of success.
Yeah, he's had great success since
And this is a guy with an injury history. This is a guy where we're constantly thinking, is this it? And I think this might be that moment where you have to sit there and look, is it worth the risk of continuing on? Or
he just signed a new deal. And, and I'm not saying that should play any factor in it at all. He just signed a new deal, though, in terms of what's going on. And he wants to retire as a Penguin. I think, and again, I know that this is going to kill the Penguin salary cap because he's over the age of 35. But I think that if he retires, or if they put him on long-term injury reserve whatever.
This is like, the situation that long-term injury reserve exists for.
Like, this is one where if the guy is legitimately, like, if there's a risk for him to play hockey, we should have that LTIR set up for him. So,
this isn't finagling the cap. This isn't playing, like, cap gymnastics to, like, get a little bit of relief.
Would it suck as a Penguins fan to see Chris Letang retire early? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would it suck to see Chris Letang not retire early and potentially risk his life even more than watching him retire? So I am in the camp of, if Chris Letang decides that this is enough, he's got young kids, so be it. But at the end of the day, if Chris Letang, if something happens to him on the ice, that would be 10 times worse.
Because we were talking about this before. I think he also had blood clotting issues stemming from the first stroke. And so, you know, you think about, when we think about situations like this, we have to keep in mind that when their hockey career is over, there's still a whole life to live. Like, these guys, they play until they're usually in their 30s. Some make it to their 40s. But you have a whole, like, 40, 50 years to live after that, and a whole life to lead after that. At a certain point, that calculation comes in.
It was Pascal Dupuis that had the blood clots.
Okay.
But it was in the same era there, in terms of them playing together. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if you want to hit a little closer to home as well, and I didn't know, I mean, I knew this, but I forgot about it altogether, was that Brian Mullen had a stroke at the age of 31.
Mm-hmm.
1993, he had a blood clot in his brain. So it's not like this is something that happens often, but when it does, I mean, again, people got to take, you know, account of what's going on around them, and certainly what's going on at home, all that kind of stuff, and really sort of, you know, weigh the two options of whether or not to continue playing or retire from the game.
And
so
these are people, they've got lives. Like, there's things.
He was 26 during his first stroke. That was in 2014. So we're talking 9 years ago.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, when you have one, it's the same thing with heart attacks, is that it's not damage that you come back from very easily, if at all, and it leaves you susceptible to more as your life goes on. So yeah, it's horrible news, but thankfully he's doing all right.
So we'll see how it goes for Letang. Obviously, we want to wish him and his family the best, because this is a tough thing for them, but brutal to sort of see that in terms of what's going on, but nothing serious in terms of him being injured or I mean, he's technically injured, but nothing in terms of injury or any sort of, you know, massive sort of setback that he's had with the stroke. So that's a good thing, good sign. One of the things that we were interested in talking about, we mentioned a little bit last week, was the first annual, although it was technically supposed to be go off a couple of years ago, or last year, I guess, with COVID on, they couldn't do it, but you may have heard us talking at the end of the show last week about the Ducky Pond Hockey Classic. Now, again, don't know a lot about it. It hasn't been a lot of news about it. I haven't heard anybody on, and again, that's kind of weird, I haven't heard anybody on OB reporting about it, who's the radio partner for the Jets, but whatever. We got a chance. I got a chance. And we did it during work hours, so obviously, Jay, you were busy. But I got a chance to sit down with Anders Strom, who's the Director of Player and Alumni Relations at True North Sports Entertainment. He's one of the driving forces behind this as well. I spoke to him. It's about 15 minutes long in terms of us talking about everything that's going to happen, what's going to, you know, what this looks like, what's going to go on. Mm-hmm. But basically, it sounds like it's going to be pretty fun based upon what he said. And I'm actually kind of really excited to see how they're going to pull this off and the way they make it work. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, pond hockey's a sort of an old-time relic of hockey now, where there's not a lot of ponds out there that people can play on. But what they're doing, and again, he'll explain it a little bit when we get into the interview here, is the lake that they just built at Lake Manitou, or at Camp Manitou, is where they're going to have all the games
played.
That's
so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So it's super exciting to hear what they're planning on doing. I'll let him talk a little bit more about that. But here's my discussion with Andrew Strom, the Director of Player and Alumni Relations at True North Sports Entertainment that went on. I guess we had this yesterday when we were working on trying to get some information about this. So here is Andrew Strom with the interview. Now is Anders Strom, the Director of Player and Alumni Relations at True North Sports Entertainment, as we get set here to talk about the first annual Ducky Pond Hockey Classic. First of all, Anders, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate you taking a little time out of your day and giving us a little bit of knowledge about what's going on with this. Second, that's a heck of a job you must have there. How interesting is it to be Player and Alumni Relations for True North Sports Entertainment?
Well, first, thanks for having me. It's good to be on, and yeah, it's a really interesting role. I enjoy it. I'm a former player, so still getting to work in the hockey world and work with the current team, both our teams, with the Jets and the Moose, and then our alumni. It's fantastic, and it's changes week to week, but it's something I really enjoy.
Right on. That sounds super cool. So glad to have you here with us to talk a little bit about the first annual Ducky Pond Hockey Classic. So let's get into this. Going to be happening from February 9th to 12th, 2023 at Camp Manitou. Obviously, great place to have it, and certainly one of the great sort of camps that we have here in Manitoba. How many rinks do you guys plan on having out there? Because, I mean, we're talking about, you know, needing a pile of space and a pile of room. So what's the size and what's the rink total going to look like when people get out there?
Yeah, so Camp Manitou, like you said, we're going to be holding the event on the newly created lake that's on site at Camp Manitou. So how we've mapped it out, we can fit about eight pond hockey rinks on there, which gives us some room to maneuver and have some, you know, warming areas and a path for the Zamboni or ice clearing slash maintenance equipment. So eight rinks, which, and then based on the tournament format, we figure about 72 teams is our max, and that'll be a combination of, an open division, and then we also will have a female or a women's division. Both will just be a competitive division, but we do encourage, you know, all skill levels. So, you know, we imagine there'll be some teams that are out there to win, and then some teams that are just out there to have a good time and enjoy the festivities, we hope.
Now, is that split down the middle? Is it 36 each in terms of open, and or is it going to play based upon registration numbers?
Yeah, it'll depend on registration numbers. So we've kind of opened it up to be flexible there and see how it goes. But we just want to encourage people to sign up, get your friends together. You can have 4 to 5 players per team. There's no goalies required. You know, equipment is optional with the exception of skates and gloves. You have to dress warm. Team uniforms are also encouraged. People can get pretty creative with teams and uniforms. So we're looking forward to seeing that. And again, and people at work or friends, you know, we're just hoping to get as many people out as possible to enjoy this event.
Now, in terms of people coming out, obviously there's going to be lots to do. Obviously, wanted to have it last year, couldn't do it because of the pandemic. A little bit of delay in terms of kicking this whole event off, but it gave you an extra year sort of to plan everything. Did the extra time give you more time to really sort of get everything together and really sort of nail everything down at that point then?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely help. I mean, it's the first time for us to do this, but we've leaned on some resources, you know, that have run similar events. We've affiliated with the World Pond Hockey Championship, which happens out in Plaster Rock, New Brunswick. So they've been running that event for a number of years now, and they've been great with, you know, offering some advice and, you know, some resources on how they run it. So yeah, it's going to be a big undertaking, but we're looking forward to sort of transforming and showcasing our Camp Manitou and to all the people that come out. And you know, our partner on this, or our presenting sponsor, is Canada Life, and you know, they played a huge role in this, and without them it wouldn't be possible. So really thanking them for helping us launch this event, and we're looking forward to, like you said, the inaugural event in coming up in February.
And speaking about, I mean, Plaster Rock, obviously, for those that don't know, I mean, anybody who's out there playing has got a chance to go to Plaster Rock as the winner of the tournament as well, which I think is super cool. In terms of getting that whole thing together, in terms of that sort of connection you made with Plaster Rock, I mean, are you guys, I mean, again, obviously going to be holding it annually now, but are you guys looking to do more, maybe get more involved with the whole pond hockey scene now? Is that what's going to sort of extend from maybe the first to multiple classics down the road?
I wouldn't, I wouldn't say we're looking to get more into the pond hockey, but we would like this to be an annual event. Okay. This was something, like I said, that was sort of created with between us and Canada Life, and also the Howardchuk family. You know, since Dale's unfortunate passing, we were kind of looking for a community event that would make sense. And when we spoke to the Howardchuk family, you know, the pond hockey was something that was close to their hearts, and obviously something that Dale had a lot of fond memories about, you know, spending a lot of time in Manitoba with his family. So it felt like a really good fit. And so the family is on board, and our event will go to support the True North Youth Foundation, but also Howardchuk Strong, and then the Jets alumni will have a presence as well. So we're all going to work together to put on this event.
I just wasn't sure. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, those are all, I mean, again, Howardchuk Strong, True North Youth Foundation, and the Jets alumni and friends, fantastic organizations to support with this as well. I just wasn't sure if it was going to extend to like maybe a youth tournament at some point or something like that. But I mean, I suppose that's something to be looked at if and when it comes up, right?
Yeah, I won't say no. It could be on the radar. I know we had... This one will be an adult event. However, right. we want to encourage sort of a family atmosphere. People can still come out and watch and bring their families, all those types of things. You know, we're going to have food trucks, and we're going to have warming areas. And we wanted to have that sort of outdoor festival type atmosphere. But yeah, perhaps I know the kids would probably be chomping at the bit to play. So perhaps we can do some with minor hockey, pond hockey down the road.
Big night, obviously, on Saturday as well. Live viewing of the Blackhawks as they're in town to play the Jets that night. You guys are going to have a live viewing party out there. Are we talking mini whiteout for the middle of February?
I don't know. We'll see how people are dressed. It's, you know, we expect, I think you said you've been to an outdoor pond hockey event. So people will be needing to dress for the weather. We will have, a heated tents out there, and one main large tent that will serve as sort of our beer gardens and main gathering area where we'll host the viewing party. I believe it's a later game against the Blackhawks, so we'll have games likely being played until around 7 p.m. And then we'll have some live entertainment, musician or something along those lines, DJ, create kind of a social atmosphere, and then we'll have the games on TVs inside the tent. And yeah, it should be a unique place to watch the Jets game that night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a blast in terms of just getting out there and watching it sort of out in the out in the event, which, I mean, again, how often do people get to do that, right? So, I mean, got to ask again, if you're looking to register, if people are listening right now looking to register, duckypondclassic.ca is where you need to go. There's a registration form on there. For people asking, it's $1,000 per team. They get 5 games. What else is included with that in terms of what the registration fee gets you?
Yeah, the registration fee, like I said, it's for you can have, it's your option. You have 4 or 5 players per team, so you can split it up 4 or 5 ways. That gets you the team entry. That gets you a minimum of 5 games. So I believe 1 will be on the Thursday, 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday. Those are your guaranteed games, and then Sunday will be the playoff rounds if you qualify. We're gonna have everything sort of wrapped up by early afternoon on the Sunday, the 12th. From the tournament standpoint, there will be prizing. Like I said, what we talked about before, if you win the tournament, if you're there to compete and win, then you do get a bid and an all expenses paid trip to the World Pond Hockey event the following winter. So not 2023, but 2024. And then we'll also have some participant prizing and giveaways on site. Some fun type stuff that we'll have for the participants on site. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun then in terms of seeing all that for sure. For those that are looking to enter corporate teams, $2,000 plus you get the recognition as an event supporter. As of right now, obviously building towards, you know, more and more supporters getting stuff going. Have you got a lot of corporate interest in terms of supporting the event yet?
We had a number of companies and whatnot reach out. So the idea there is you can get some office staff together, or companies can put in a team and send staff. So kind of encourage some employee bonding, and also you can get a tax receipt with that corporate registration.
That is one of the cooler sort of things in terms of having your logo up at the event, which is always a nice thing to see if you're a business, for sure. I mean, gotta ask, because everybody's gonna ask if we don't mention it. So any confirmations on players or alumni yet that may show up and sign autographs or meet the kids or anything like that? Have you got any confirmations on players that may want to be there?
I'd love to have names to share. I don't at the moment. I know that we will have some there. I do know that there'll be, I believe, Dale's son, Eric Howarchuk, will be there. I believe his wife, Crystal, may be there as well. But Eric's going to come in, and we will have some Jets alumni and friends on site, and hopefully they're playing or just being involved in the event.
Can we confirm Mickey Moose will be there as well?
That one's pretty safe bet. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one then. Okay. Like I said, I mean, at least there's somebody that, you know, everybody will know, which is kind of neat. Obviously it's going to depend on registration numbers again, and just in terms of how much money is billed. But what, again, for people that may want to know, because I mean, Howard Truck Strong, True North Youth Foundation, Winnipeg Jets Alumni and Friends, all three very good, very important sort of charitable organizations that are going to be benefiting from this. What are we talking for the split here? Are we talking like a 50-50? Are we talking, you know, it'll depend on obviously on numbers and people that are registered, but what's the hope in terms of a money raised? Do you have a goal?
Because this is the first time we're doing it, we don't really know what to expect. I mean, we expect to make some money, and then the proceeds will get split.
Yeah.
Between those three, essentially. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we are optimistic, but we'll see how the registration goes. That's one piece. And then when people are on site, right, between 50-50, and there'll be some merchandise. But really, this event is about community. It's about getting people out to play, you know, to play pond hockey, have some fun in the outdoors in Manitoba, you know, sort of grassroots hockey. So that's what we're focusing on, and hopefully we can have some money to give to those organizations at the end of it.
Yeah, no, that's fair in terms of looking at it. I wasn't sure if there was an actual like number, like a goal that you guys had in mind or anything like that, but that's totally reasonable in terms of what's going on with that. Yep. For those that are looking as well, if you're out of town, there is a hotel discount I believe you guys are offering through the Best Western, is that correct?
Yeah, the Best Western is right by Camp Manitou in Headingley there. So that's they've got some rooms held, and they have they partner with us for the event, and then obviously there's others, but that would be the closest option to the event itself.
So there you go. If we're out of town teams, if you're looking to come in, there's definitely some hotel rooms waiting as well, which is always nice to see. I mean, obviously the big thing is, I mean, again, you know, raising money for charity, doing all sorts of great stuff. I mean, Camp Manitou is a huge, huge, you know, part of the scene in the summer. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. I mean, I know because I'm out that way in terms of being out there all summer sort of thing or whatever, and everybody's, you know, in and out of that area. I mean, just how important, how great is it to be able to go to Camp Manitou and have that, you know, that area for you where you can put this on now? Because I mean, really, where else could you hold a pond hockey championship in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, great point. I mean, I've seen camp sort of evolve over the last number of years, and it's a fantastic place all year round. Now we have obviously summer camps and tons of activity happening there throughout the summer, and then when it shifts to winter, we now have the we have the rink there, the full size NHL rink, which is covered, so we're able to have a lot of our youth programming through our Winnipeg Jets Hockey Academy. Uses that facility, and then now with the outdoor pond, you know, being able to turn that into a pond hockey site and again showcase everything that we're doing out at camp, I think it's fantastic. And yeah, it's a great example of all the, you know, some of the work that gets done when we fundraise and all the improvements that can be done.
I will say, I'm excited, looking forward to this already. February 9th to 12th, 2023, out at Camp Manitou. It's the first annual Ducky Pond Hockey Classic. I'll give you the last word, though, Anders. By all means, promote away if you want. I know I want to see 72 teams out there, so feel free to jump on board on the soapbox here and push this a little bit more.
Yeah, well, we're really excited. We're optimistic. We feel like it could sell out fast. So just encourage people to get your groups together, you know, register, sign up. All the information is on the site, duckypondclassic.ca. Like you mentioned, we're going to put on a good event. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be cold, so dress warm, but really looking forward to it. So hope to see everybody out there.
We look forward to seeing everybody out there, including yourself, Anders. We're going to try and see if we can get out there as well and certainly cover a little bit of the action as well. But thanks for doing this. Really appreciate this tonight. And we'll certainly keep pushing, hopefully, you know, a few more people into this by promoting it as much as we can as well here on the Hockey Show. So thanks for doing this.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
So there is Anders Strom, again, the Director of Player and Alumni Relations for True North Sports Entertainment. Glad to have him on the show talking a little bit about the Pond Hockey Classic, Ducky Pond Hockey Classic. First annual this year, because again, they didn't have it last year, COVID and
obvious reasons.
Pandemic reasons, but that's okay. Now, a lot of people are going to go, hold on a second here. That's ridiculous. $1,000 is a lot of money for five people. It is. I'm not going to deny that. It's a lot of money. However, the organizers are also going to be bringing a ton of prizes with them. They didn't, Anders, they couldn't go into much detail on it. We did talk a little bit after the interview. They are planning on bringing a pile of prizes to give away at the event as well. So your money is not going to be wasted if you come with a little creativity. I'll say that only because, again, having been at other pond hockey championships, I'll tell you that the best dressed teams usually end up winning something. The teams that come up and have the funniest sort of theme to their costume usually end up winning. I was, again, telling GM Jared before the show started here, I was down at the U.S. Pond Hockey Championship in Minneapolis, St. Paul, six years ago. Man, it's been a while ago, I'll say that. And one of the teams came out in full suits and top hats. And that's played awesome. Played the tournament in suits and we're talking the ties, the pants,
so
the whole thing. And they I mean, again, they're not out there to win. They knew they weren't. I mean, again, we watched them; they weren't very good. I'm not going to try and rain on their parade. They just weren't very good. But everybody, every time they walked into the tent where everybody's getting chased, hey, it's the top hat guys. Those guys are awesome. They have a great uniform. So if you're gonna come out, be creative. Yep. Get yourself going and have some fun with it. You do need a white and a dark uniform. I did read that on the information as well. So you have a chance to do all sorts of crazy stuff with uniforms if you want to do that. But at the same time,
don't take it too seriously, guys. Come on. It's a pond hockey tournament. Right. Let's not try and...
Unless you're there to go to the national pond hockey championship, don't go in all like, we're going to dominate this and then lose four or five straight games.
And then
games.
Get mad.
Yeah. Like, this sucks. Well, guess what? There's going to be some really good teams there.
Yeah.
I do want to say big thanks, though, to Krista Sineski. I think that's Sineski. I'm Krista. I'll call her that. She's the Director of Corporate Communications from True North Sports Entertainment. She put me in touch with Anders about all this, so big thanks to her. And again, if you're looking for more information on this, duckypondclassic.ca. Duckypondclassic.ca is where you want to go. All the information's there. Registration information is there. All of the location in terms of where you're playing at Camp Manitou, all that stuff is all there as well. So go check that out. Check out the rules, please. For the love of all things good, read the rule book.
Yeah.
This is not... Again, one of the things in pond hockey is you cannot raise the puck.
Yeah.
And if you raise the puck or raise your stick off the ice, there is going to be a penalty for it.
Yeah.
Make sure you understand how this game is played. Don't just go in and be like, oh, it's just hockey, don't worry, we're going to be good. No, it's not hockey. It's pond hockey. It's different.
A little bit different.
Right. So get that under your belt, and we'll figure that out once you get out there and see who's going to be out there. Again, we're going to keep up with Anders as well. I'm going to keep a line of communication with him. We'll have some more information as we get going. As you heard, Mickey Moose is going to be out there. But there will be other Jets, whether it be alumni or current players out there as well. Maybe some of the Moose, who knows, in terms of who they're going to bring out. But
awesome. Anders, we all know Mickey Moose is the draw.
Well, yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, that's why.
If Benny shows up, then it's like a done deal.
That would be Benny. Hey, Benny getting out there as well would be fantastic. Yeah. But having a few of the Jets and a few of the Moose players out there at some point would be fantastic as well, so we'll see how that goes as well. Well, Anders did tell me that, you know, just due to some of the finalization in terms of who's going to be available, who's not, he couldn't release any names on that, but mm-hmm. there will be players. He did guarantee there will be players there, so get a chance to meet some of your heroes.
There you go. Maybe that was good.
Maybe they grew up playing pond hockey. Who knows?
Probably.
As for an announcement, we do have an announcement tonight, because announcements are always fun. And it's a good announcement. Not even a bad announcement. Not even like, hey, we're canceled, or hey, we're off the air next week.
Don't, never.
Don't tune in. Yeah, Jared's got that power. I'll say that.
It takes one bad day.
Sometimes that's all it is.
One too many Nickelback songs.
Well, hey, I am going to say he didn't fire us after that Nickelback song fiasco, so I think we're okay on that. I will say, though, that in what has become an annual tradition around these parts, the Hockey Show and UMFM have been invited back for the 2023 Female World Sports School Challenge that's going to be happening at the Hockey for All Center, also known as the Iceplex. Let's just call it the Iceplex.
Yep.
At the Hockey for All Center from January 26th to 29th. Mark your calendars now, folks. January 26th to 29th, the best female prep and AAA teams will be facing off in our city at the Iceplex out in Headingley.
Awesome.
I'm going to tell you that right now because last year we saw an incredible final.
Yeah.
Like, mind-blowing hockey. Like, Stanstead College, who plays out in Quebec, against Rink Hockey Academy Kelowna, which was incredible. I mean, the speed alone was ridiculous, but just the execution. I mean, Jay, I mean, you called the game, and I was there for doing color with you, and we were having a laugh about some of the stuff, and Stanstead. Was it the gold medal?
I did do a Stanstead game.
Yeah, but, I mean, the execution with that Stanstead had, I mean, just the way that they marched up and down the ice.
Yeah, it was like automatic. It's just like a machine moving down.
Five players all moving in one direction, all moving and all knowing their roles. It was clinical. Incredible to watch. Yeah, it was. I mean, surgical is probably the best way to call it. But again, we've seen some great players come through. Erin Frankel, who plays for the U.S. Women's National Team, she played in this tournament 4 or 5 years ago. So, no, yeah. 6 years ago, I guess now. Hallie Krizani, excuse me, played in this tournament as well. She was one of the teams, I believe, is Edge. She played for out in Calgary, or Pursuit of Excellence, one or the other, either way. But we've seen some great players, some Olympians obviously come through here, some national team players come through here. I have no doubt we're probably going to be looking at a bunch of other national team players coming through here as well. Alexia Aubin, who played for Stanstead College last year, who we were just marveled with because she was like 16 and just dancing on the ice. She was incredible. She played for the U18. Yeah, the U18 team. Jada Ginla played for the U18 team as well. She played for the Rink last year. She was, again, we were joking about how she might have a better shot than her dad already, and that's kind of crazy to say. But again, huge tournament. Always, always, always thankful and honored that that St. Mary's Academy invites us back to help out with that. Again, it's an honor to call these games as a prestigious tournament. It is one of the best tournaments for prep hockey, for AAA hockey in North America, maybe on the planet. We've seen, again, some of the incredible players we just talked about come through. Always thankful when they give us a little bit of their time. But I do want to say, the staff and the volunteers from St. Mary's Academy do such an incredible job at putting this on as well. And they really are the heart and soul of this tournament. So the fact that we get to go there and sort of work with these great people as well. And again, I'm not saying this, they haven't paid me or anything like that. It's not like this is a paid advertisement. They are legitimately the reason why it's easy for us to go back every year because they legitimately make our job so much easier.
Yeah, that tournament runs like clockwork. It's amazing just how professional it is with all volunteers.
Again, January 26th to 29th, mark it on your calendar. Last weekend in January. I believe, Jason, Trinity Western's in town for that weekend, so Mike could see maybe some Trinity Western players come out because there's a few that went to St. Mary's that play on that team, just a couple. Nichols and Kate Bumstead, and a couple players that we might know there. The women are in there, but the men are in town in Manitoba, so maybe we won't see them actually. So I believe that's what I was just looking at the information here. It looks like men are in town. So either way, we'll have a good time down there. Come down to the Iceplex, come down to the Hockey for All Center and catch one of the greatest tournaments in Winnipeg history because this happens annually and it's always, always
great. It's always great.
Beyond that, and we're now into the second half of the show here, the back half of the show. Let's get into what I'm going to call the back half of hockey, which is in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, no.
Because
at least we're not talking about Hockey Canada again. At least that.
Well, I mean, we can take a break for hockey culture for a week because this is legitimately just insanity what's going on in Tempe. But you might have missed the news on Tuesday. Again, it came out late thanks to there being lots of people that wanted to talk at the city council meeting. But the city council of Tempe, Arizona has voted 7-0 in favor of the new Coyotes Arena complex. Now, before we go on, I want to make this clear. This is not to say that this is a go yet. Yeah. What they've done, the 7-0 vote basically sends the request now to the voters when it comes to the $500 million tax breaks that the Coyotes may receive for building their new arena there.
Yeah, because they can give the Coyotes the go-ahead at any time to start building this thing. What they're waiting on is what the Coyotes want in terms of the $500 million.
Correct. So,
you have to ask people for.
So now I want to stress this up front. We're going to talk some money. We're going to talk some numbers. You might get a little confused, but we'll try and clarify everything.
And you're going to come out of it saying, isn't this a scam?
I'm almost convinced that this is now just a shell game going on. But here's what's going on. According to the Coyotes, they're going to build this entire complex with private money to the tune of $2.1 billion. Now, that's up from the $1.3 billion mm-hmm. price tag they started out with last year.
Yep.
So you can see the escalating costs are already going up. Mm-hmm. Of that $2.1 billion cost, $700 million of it is for the arena alone.
Yep.
Which means that $1.4 billion is going into shopping, entertainment, and housing. That's going to be built in and around mm-hmm. this arena. I don't know how they're going to do that, but okay.
$700 million doesn't seem like enough for an arena.
Again, I don't know how they're going to do this, but all right, whatever. That's fine. Now, again, if Alex Marullo has $2.1 billion sitting in a bank account somewhere that he's not spending, I probably have a lot of land in Florida to sell you as well. Because legitimately, there is no way he's sitting on $2.1 billion worth of money.
Any billionaire you know of, I mean, you probably don't know a billionaire.
I don't know.
Most billionaires you know of, that money ain't sitting in their bank account. I can tell you that for free.
So what's going to happen is Alex Marullo is asking for a pile of tax breaks, and the city has basically said, we're going to let the people decide by putting it to this referendum on May 21st, 2023. Mm-hmm. People are going to go and vote on whether or not the $500 million worth of tax breaks is the right idea for the city of Tempe.
Yep.
I'm going to preface this by saying, if you vote for this, you're probably going to need your head checked.
Yeah.
Because here's how it breaks down.
Also, just because this is all private money doesn't mean that this is going to cost the city and cost taxpayers nothing.
So here's how it breaks down. According to documents published by the Phoenix Business Journal this past week, Tempe will sell $220 million in bonds for land prep and infrastructure. So roads, sewer systems, all sorts of stuff, and land remediation, because they have to dig up all of the crap that's underneath there because it's going to be sitting on an old landfill. We've already gone over this, I don't know how many times in previous shows. The remediation costs are going to be expensive. But again, Tempe believes $220 million in bonds is going to be enough for them to be able to do that. How are they going to make the money back? Because again, when the bond matures, you have to pay out the interest to the the bondholder plus the value of the bond. How do they do this? Okay, well, this is where things get a little crazy, because Tempe has basically proposed the following recollection of the money. The collecting of the money mm-hmm. is going to be the key on this, because if they don't pay out the bond, they're insolvent, and that's a huge problem.
Yes.
So here we go. So Tempe will collect the money to pay off the bond offering by charging 0.9% in city sales taxes on every dollar spent at the site only.
Yep.
So less than 1%, 0.9% paid in taxes for everything that's spent at the site that does not exist right now.
Yep.
So you're going to charge me 0.9% on things that I can buy at a place that doesn't exist.
Yep. So food, parking, tickets,
I
want to
make
rent.
This clear. The place that doesn't exist.
Yeah. So you're already chucking the money you're making 5 to 6 years down the road.
Okay. They're also going to charge 3.75% in city hotel taxes. So if you stay anywhere in Tempe, Arizona, you're going to be charged 3.75%, excuse me, on top of the actual hotel bill.
Even if you're not there near the rink, even if you're not on the property.
If you're just there to visit grandma.
Yeah.
You're paying 3.75%.
If you're staying at the Sheraton in Tempe at the city limits, you're still paying for this rink.
So you may not be there for any reason other than a business trip or a family vacation or anything like that. You may not have any interest in going to see hockey, but you're paying for the rink. Yep. Okay, that's fine.
And that's tacked onto
your bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weird one that came up, though, was that 22.8% of future payments in lieu of property taxes collected by the city. They're going to collect 22.8% of future payments in lieu of property taxes collected by the city. Yep. Now, you're going to go, well, how do you collect something in lieu of? Like, how does that work? Like, they either collect property taxes or they don't. Well, because of the tax breaks given to Marullo and mm-hmm. his group, they're not charging him property taxes, even though they're still kind of charging him a property tax. And the way that works, and again, this is where things get crazy, is that the Arizona government, a long time ago, created a different type of tax other than property tax, even though it's still a property tax. It's called the Government Property Lease Excise Tax. And what it does, it's only found in Arizona. It's the only state that has it. As per the definition, it's a redevelopment tool to initiate redevelopment or to initiate development, excuse me, by reducing a project's operating costs by replacing the real property tax with an excise tax. So basically, Marullo pays less taxes on property that he's going to be given.
They're just shaving dollars off.
Correct.
At this point.
Because they can't charge him property taxes, but they still need to wait. They still need to make a way back, a little bit of money back off the property they're giving him.
Yes. Just charge him property tax. I don't know why we're playing the shell game of like moving money around and saying, oh, we're going to charge him this instead so we can shave a couple percentage points off of it so he doesn't have to pay as much. It's like, just charge the property tax.
If you're a Tempe, Arizona resident, the total debt servicing has been capped at $247 million based upon you making 0.9% off sales at an area that doesn't exist. Based upon 3.75% on top of hotels that you can stay at anywhere else in Phoenix, which will be 3.75% cheaper. Based upon property taxes that are actually 22.9% of property taxes. Mm-hmm. Do you really think you're going to make back the money on your bond?
Wait, how much bonds are they going to sell?
$220
million. Yeah, you're not making that money back, pal. Because that's assuming that all of the money that they're projecting comes in. Like, they could have a bad year. Like, we could have a year where they have to lock down chunks of, like, oh my, like, we're in a pandemic or something, where people aren't traveling and they're not staying in hotels, so that money just gets wiped out.
Okay, but if you're going to Tempe for any reason, I don't care what it is, I don't care what the issue is, or Phoenix, in any Phoenix proper, for any reason, mm-hmm. and you have the opportunity to stay at a 5-star for both places, exact same price, but one is 3.75% more. Which one are you staying at? The one that's not charging the 3.75%.
You're gonna do the drive to your hotel that's outside Tempe, so you can stay at a cheaper hotel.
Right. So
there's a reason.
I legitimately struggle with a lot of the details putting into the debt servicing here. Now beyond that, here's where the things get crazy. Okay? Because here's where things go bananas.
I'm sure this is what connects to what I'm struggling with this whole thing.
Again, the spend at the site part is crazy because there is no site. The city hotel taxes haven't even been collected yet, and we're already charging 3.7. And then 22% of basically of property tax. We're collecting 1/5 of the normal property taxes. Yep. Here's where things go bananas, because and I say this only because there's no reference to it whatsoever in the development plan.
Yep.
If Marullo doesn't build anything except for an arena, just stops after building the arena, there is no penalty for him to not continue building. Yeah.
Because he's getting the tax breaks
up front
under the condition that he's also going to build the entertainment complex and the residential complex, which comes after.
Right. Because the arena is the important part here.
You gave him the carrot. You just gave it to him. He doesn't have to do the other thing. He can just walk away with the tax breaks, and there's nothing you can do. It's not like, you know, the deed then goes to the city of Tempe if he doesn't fulfill his end of the bargain. You're just giving him the tax breaks, and he doesn't have to. You're on his word that he's going to do the second part.
Now, the city of Tempe did get one thing back from Marullo. And you're going to be excited about this because they can make a... No, they can't make a ton of money. I'm just kidding. They got the naming rights to the arena.
Oh! You mean the thing that doesn't actually benefit a company?
Correct, yeah.
The thing that they actively pay for? The thing that we just had a billion-dollar crypto exchange go under and the money's now gone?
Welcome to Smoothie King Arena.
Like, I'm struggling with the fact that they're going to...
So, hold on.
A chunk of this is coming from something that isn't even built
yet. So, hold on. So, they're $247 million, capped at $247 million in debt in terms of what they're going to put up for this, okay? $247 million is the max that they said they're going to be capped at. The only problem, though, is that, again, the Coyotes have committed $50 million to the remediation costs. The estimate for that remediation in June of 2022 was $70 million. The actual remediation cost will likely triple, which would mean that somebody needs to pay for the cleanup. Who's paying for the cleanup?
The city, but the city can't finance it because they don't have the debt.
You can't service more debt on that.
The debt service is capped. You can't add to that. So
who's paying for the remediation? The answer is
nobody.
Who the hell knows?
If the Coyote... We're going to get stuck in a Calgary situation where... nobody's going to pay for it, and then nothing happens.
And nothing happens. The total amount of tax breaks, after everything was calculated up, clocks in around $500 million, one quarter of the total cost of the entertainment the arena and entertainment district.
More than half of the cost of the that's earmarked for the arena.
The $700 million for the arena is a lot. It looks a lot smaller now that you have $5 million.
$200 million.
Right. Correct.
And he just gets that.
And don't forget, if a city is insolvent, they can't just go, well, we'll find another job. That's not how it works. They're going to cut services. They're going to cut all sorts of social programs. So again, when we talk about things like schools closing in cities, when we talk about things like fire departments and police departments and hospitals closing, this is why.
Yeah, because you're just shoveling money at billionaires for no reason.
And seven councillors voted that this was a good idea to give it to the...
It's corruption. It's what it is. It's just these people just giving money to billionaires. I don't understand.
Again, you're not the only one. But again, this is the... So again, we're giving out $500 million in tax breaks to a guy who has promised to build a $2.1 billion complex who is not going to be penalized if he doesn't do what he said he's going to do. Not going to be penalized. That's the key.
Yeah.
Because
get penalized are the taxpayers of Tempe, Arizona.
Because he should be on the hook for whatever the cost is that isn't completed at that point or whatever's left over in that debt servicing. But he's not, because this is how we're going to pay for it.
They have constructed this repayment system. They've constructed this debt service system in such a way that if one thing goes wrong, the entire city is insolvent. And that means,
again,
police, no fire department, no trash cleanup,
no infrastructure, no nothing, infrastructure, no roads, no sewers, no nothing. Like, none of that stuff can be touched to that point.
You're basically gambling at this point. It's fitting that it's the Murillo family and they run casinos, but like you're mortgaging
But this is the argument. This is the argument.
Future.
This is the argument that a few places have made about how this is the casino owner paradox, where just because you don't give him $500 million in cash doesn't mean he doesn't have $500 million to his name, because you gave him $500 million in his tax. He still has the money in his hands. He didn't have to spend $500 million because you gave him $500 million in tax breaks.
Yeah.
So if the casino owner has $500 million he's holding on to because he doesn't have to spend it, where does the city benefit?
Nowhere.
Right. And this is the problem now, is that we're looking at Tempe going, you guys are legitimately betting on pennies from heaven and hoping that they fall into dimes. Because
for all of the people
you're not
out there
going to get that.
That don't understand, cities make money off taxes.
So okay, before we go on in this, because I always hear this complaint about how taxes are too high. Taxes pay for things you don't want to pay for yourself.
Yes.
Taxes pay for roads. They pay for they pay for sewers. They pay for, again, ambulance services. They pay for fire departments. They pay for police departments. If you had to put the fire out yourself, if your house caught on fire, you wouldn't have a house left.
The reason we created tax schemes is to collectivize these services.
It's so a socialization. It's a socialization of collecting money. It's essentially a way that cities can pay for a service that you may need at some point. You don't have to use it. You may need it at some point, but it's there for the collective good.
Yeah. And you're mortgaging that on a billionaire who has the money. Who can build, like,
who
people
will,
that are
who
this
will,
rich
who
can
will,
just get the money.
Who will legitimately only profit from the arena you're building for
yes.
him.
He's already profited. You're giving him $500 million. Like, it's mind-boggling that we can't just say, hey,
so here's
billionaire,
the catch. Hold on.
Pay for the
hold
thing.
On. So here's the catch. The only reason he's building the entertainment, housing, and shopping complex is to get the tax break. He doesn't get a tax break if he builds the arena.
Yeah.
The arena does not qualify him for the tax break. So you
got it.
So you're basically hemorrhaging money on a $700 million arena on a project that may never get built.
Yeah. Also, who buys bonds? Who buys municipal bonds?
Well,
it's
the rich who can afford them and sit on them.
It's guys like the Murillo family.
Correct.
Because this is my conspiracy, right? Because we have seen this happen.
So here
it's not a conspiracy.
But here's the thing that I'm stuck with, and I know exactly where you're going with this, and I want to sort of illustrate this a little bit differently. If you can't pay for infrastructure because you're insolvent,
Yes.
You have no sewers and no roads. If there's no sewers and no roads, no housing complexes, no entertainment district, no shopping is being built because there is no infrastructure, mm-hmm. which lets Marullo off the hook.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to pay for it. So if you cannot pay for infrastructure, you are essentially telling him, oh, well, you don't have to do anything now. Sorry.
Yeah.
So in terms of that bond that he's buying, that you're suggesting that mm-hmm. if rich people are going to buy bonds, if he's the one buying $220 million worth of bonds,
exactly.
and it turns out he makes $247 million after everything's paid out, including insurance, or interest, excuse me, that he gets back. So again, he basically makes $27 million over the life of the bonds.
Because he gets the money back.
Right. He's not out a dime after the $500 million tax break and the $200 million in bonds that he's going to be repaid for a $700 million arena.
He gets a free arena.
And again, if Tempe can't pay for the infrastructure, he cannot put up any buildings on top of that.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is he's effectively holding, if he does this, if he buys the bonds, he's holding the city hostage.
Correct.
Because he gets to build the arena. He gets the $500 million. He has the $200 million set aside, and he's going to get that money back after the fact. He's got it all paid for, and he can just sit there and not fulfill. He can say, keep pushing. It's like, oh, we have to delay the construction of this thing. We have to delay it.
You have to build the infrastructure first.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. You need to build the infrastructure before I can put a building on top of it.
Which they don't have money for.
Correct.
And he can just wait until the point where the interest gets paid out on those bonds because they have a hard limit.
We haven't even figured out how to pay for remediation where all of that the sewers and roads are going to go yet. That's the problem here, is that there are so many details that have not been finalized as to who's paying for what, that this is going to fall exactly dead like the Calgary yeah. arena did.
Hey, citizens of Tempe.
Vote this down. Please vote this
down. I've got something important to tell you. You're on a set of train tracks, and the horn is blowing. Maybe get out of the way of the freight train before it runs your entire city over.
Or vote no and hit the brakes. That would be the easiest thing to do because, honestly, this is madness. Let him build his $700 million arena.
He's a billionaire.
Let him build his $700 million arena. Forget the other tax breaks.
Can we stop this lie, like giving billionaires tax breaks and making things more, like making it better for them to invest here or making it more approachable to invest here? Can we get rid of this lie that it works?
You can make fun of me all you want, and I don't mind this because I wasted my Tuesday night watching some of this. Wasted it. And I'm going to say that because I don't know how many times I heard the phrase, turn a landfill into a landmark at that city council.
It's not going to be a landmark because it's not going to be anything.
You're legitimately turning a landfill into a money pit. That's what you're doing. And again, I want to be positive for Arizona. I'm not saying that the Coyotes should move. I'm not saying that they would be better off somewhere else. Although
make him pay for it. That's all I want.
Right. If he wants it, he should pay for it. Like, not you should pay for it.
Take it from people in Winnipeg. Our city has literally sold its soul to the Thompson family and True North Sports and Entertainment. Don't make the same mistake we did.
I will say right now that, yes, to a degree, but I will say this out loud only because I don't mind if they're going to put money back into the community. Do you think Marullo has done any of that?
No.
That's the thing. It'd be different if he was building like 10 arena complexes in different parts of the city of Phoenix proper. Mm-hmm. But he's not. He hasn't done anything to justify this. Look at Glendale, who shut down fire departments, who shut down all sorts of services in order to service their debt on an arena that they didn't need to build. And now they don't have the Coyotes and they're going, we can actually make more money without the hockey team here. This is what we're talking about. Glendale kicked them out and they're going, we can make more money without them, actually. We're good. Let us do what we want.
It's like, it's just these cities that are bending over backwards for literal billionaires.
I don't understand. I mean, I do understand how billionaires threaten everybody with, oh, we'll leave if you don't do what we want.
If millionaires and billionaires were so scared of taxes, why do the most millionaires and billionaires live in California?
Again, if you're going to move your team, I dare you.
Do it.
Where are you going to move it to? Name me one city that can finance this other than Houston. Oh, Quebec City's got it. Okay, then move them to Quebec City. Let's see how you do without the taxes in Canada. Because guess what? You're going to get taxed. The arena's already built there.
The two NHL-ready arenas that exist right now, both of them are only under the condition that the person that owns the arena also owns the team.
Correct.
The owner of the arena in Houston wants to own the team. Videotron wants to own the team and the television rights.
But this is the craziness that we're under right now, is that we'll give a team to a guy, and then Bettman goes and shoots his mouth off after the city council meeting and says, oh, and if you guys vote for this, we'll make sure that for the next 30 years, there's no chance of them moving. We'll give them a 30-year, you know, relocation prevention clause. So you know what? Don't make that promise, because honestly, if they go bankrupt again, move
them.
You're
on the hook.
Move them.
But here's the thing. Also, with that 30-year agreement, you're sidling you're basically sidling the entire league with reduced revenue and reduced growth for the next 30 years.
Okay, so this goes to a vote on the 21st of May after the season's over, because again, Arizona's not going to make the playoffs. After the season's over, which means that they haven't put shovels in ground yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have 2 years to play at ASU. They've already said it's going to take 2 to 3 years to build the arena. They haven't even talked about how long it's going to take to remediate the area.
It's going to take about 2 years.
If Arizona State tells Arizona Coyotes, we don't want you in our arena anymore, where do they go? What exactly can Marullo do to say...
I feel like
say,
I'm taking crazy pills.
But this is what I mean. There is the plans in Arizona are so ridiculously bad that this should be an automatic no to. If your kid came home and said, hey, guess what, I have a chance to buy magic beans for a bazillion dollars as long as you give me the bazillion dollars, you're gonna kick that kid out of the house. Go get your own bazillion dollars.
Like, it's just
the whole thing is just madness upon madness, all because we need a hockey team. We need a hockey team
because Gary Bettman is too proud to admit that he screwed up.
Well, I don't know if he screwed up, but at the end of the day, moving to Arizona was probably a good idea had the market been able to support them. But it hasn't, and it will not, based upon what's going on.
Because none of the ownership groups have ever, ever spent a dime where they didn't have to.
But this is what I mean, that we're legitimately sitting on crazy craziness because the Tempe people, the Tempe City Council, doesn't have the fortitude to stand up and go, make the numbers work.
No, they have to gamble their entire city's future.
But they don't even explain it to their people right. The people in Tempe are still saying this is all private money. It's not.
Well, we just went through it, and how complicated it is. Like, we have an understanding of how this works.
Right.
For the average voter in Tempe, they have no idea.
But this is what I mean. You're legitimately selling everybody a bill of goods that you haven't explained. And you're legitimately hoping they never ask questions about.
Ask people who live in Detroit how it is to live in a city that's insolvent. It ain't good.
But this is what I mean. But yeah, but it doesn't matter because they voted to build a brand new arena like a week after they claimed they were broke. Like, it doesn't seem to matter to people anymore. That legitimately financial responsibility, and I get that people
it's
are...
It's the tail wagging the dog.
Well,
It's the billionaires making the decisions, and it's just the people in power making it make sense.
Listen, I don't know how many people live in Tempe. We'll say 500,000 people. We'll say 1 million people. Say 6 million people. Whatever.
It's roughly the size of Winnipeg.
Okay, so say 1 million people. There are 1 million people that have 500 million reasons not to do this. And there's one owner who's going, please just let it happen. I'm begging you, let it happen. In order for him to make hand over fist in money. They shouldn't be like this. Shouldn't be.
We have examples in this league of ownership groups who are spending their own money to make this thing happen without the tax breaks, without the promises, without anything.
But look at Seattle. Seattle did it right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Seattle doing the way they did it.
Yeah. Because they did it properly. And they did it relatively quickly.
But again, this is what we deal with in terms of people trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. But before we get out of here, we got about a minute and a half left here. I do want to make a note here, folks, that if you're looking for Christmas music this year, something along the lines of, oh, I don't know, like this. If you're looking for Christmas music for your household party or any other party, the UMFM second stream is an all Christmas stream from now until Boxing Day. So you'll be able to tune in anytime. There'll be Christmas music playing on there all day, all night, anytime you like. So we're going to offer that to everybody as a listener of UMFM, because we know that, you know, sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, you know, got to find some music to put on for a party or something. We got your soundtrack for you. We're ready.
Dora, I'm still traumatized by my time working in retail that sometimes the Christmas music just, like, gives me flashbacks. And I'm like, no.
It's a mix between, like, classic stuff and yeah. some contemporary stuff like that or whatever. You won't hear anything crazy, like, crazy. There'll be some fun stuff on there. Christmas and Hollis, for example, is in there, I believe, in terms of having some fun in there or whatever. But a lot of good stuff in there as well. So if you're looking for a little Christmas, the UMFM second stream, it went live at noon today. So by all means, if you're looking to get in on that, have some fun with it. So,
awesome.
Jay, before we get out of here, anything you want to say?
Big announcement. My book has passed through editorial.
What?
It is now in the copy editing phase.
Get out of here!
We are one step closer to it being on store shelves.
You are... Yeah, that's huge. Nice work. Good job, man. That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
I can't give a solid, like, we have a release window.
That's fine. Yeah.
And we've been telling, like, people like the Free Press, like, it's gonna come out probably in this window, but we don't have, like, a firm release date yet.
You know what?
Things happen, but
I'll be at McNally Robinson for the talk and the book signing for you.
Hey,
so there you go.
They do it. My publisher does it regularly. There
you go. See, I like it. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Stay tuned. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. Glad to have everybody along today. If you're looking for more information about Tempe, by all means, dig into it, because it's going to be a lot of craziness going on for the next few weeks. But if you know anybody down there, tell them to vote no, please. I beg you. Last but not least, duckypondclassic.ca. Make sure you hit there before the end of the night as well. Check out the pond hockey stuff as well. With that, we're out of here for another week. Thanks for tuning in. See ya next Thursday, everybody.
I remember I was in Toronto and I was going to Winnipeg, and it was my first show there, and everyone in Toronto was like, ha-ha, bring a coat! Winnipeg! Hope you like cold weather!
Transmitting live from frigid Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
I'm not sleeping outside. Then I got to Winnipeg, and I was like, oh, they're right. They're right. They nailed it.